जय जय श्री राधे, जय जय श्री राधे, जय जय श्री राधे। वृंदावनेश्वरी राधा रानी की, राधेश्याम सुंदर की, श्रील प्रभुपाद की। We have this prayer to Srimati Radharani that was spoken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago. It was recorded in the diary Das Goswami, and this is the Sri Radhika Ashtotara Shatanam Stotram. So on this auspicious day of the Avirbhav Tithi of Srimati Radhika, we would like to glorify her in Sankirtan by all of us chanting this prayer together. Stotram says, if a pious and clean devotee recites these 108 names of Sri Radhika in the morning, midday, or evening, or in the middle of the night, wherever and however that person lives, they will become endowed with ecstatic love for Lord Krishna. Krishna prema yuto bhavet. So that is our goal, and by the mercy of Srimati Radharani and Sri Guru, we may attain that. Srimad Radha Rasamayi Rasigya Rasika Tata Rasheshwari Rasa Bhakti Rasa Purna Rasa Prada Rangini Rasadlabdacha Rasa Mandalakarani Rasa Vilasini Radha Radhika Rasa Purnada Rama Ratna Ratnamayi Ratnamala Sushobana Aktoshti Raktanayana Aktopala Vidharani Ramani Ramani Gopi Vrindavana Vilasini Nana Ratna Vichitrangi Nanusuka Mayi Sada Ni Veno Gita Veno Dini Krishna Priya Krishna Mayi Krishna Dhyana Parayani Sadananda Shina Madhya Krishna Krishnalaya Shubha Chandravali Chandramukhi Chandracha Krishnavallabha Vrindavaneshwari Devi Krishna Rangi Paragati Dayana Tita Dhyana Magna Sada Krishna Katuhali Prema Mayi Prema Rupa Prema Prema Vinodini Krishna Priya Sadanandi Gopi Mandala Vasani Niguda Rasa Surangi Mrigakshi Mrigalochana Ashesha Guna Paracha Krishna Praneshwari Sama Rasa Mandala Madhyashta Krishna Rangi Sada Shuchi Brajeshwari Braja Rupa Braja Bhumi Sukha Prada Asolasa Madon Mata Lalita Rasa Sundari Saragopi Mayi Nitya Nanashastra Visharada Kameshwari Kamarupa Sada Krishna Parayana Rashakti Sarupa Cha Shristi Stiti Nachani Samya Mayi Radha Radhika Sarakamada Ganga Cha Tulasi Treva Yamana Cha Saraswati Bhagavati Bhagavati Bhagavat Chitta Rupini Prema Bhakti Sada Rangi Premananda Vilasani Sadananda Mayi Nitya Nitya Dharma Parayani Trailokya Karshani Adya Sundari Krishna Rupini Shattam Mashtotaram Nama Yakpatet Prayatakshuchi Praktakale Chamadhyane Sandhyayam Madhyaratrike Yatcha Tatcha Bhavetasya Krishna Prema Yuto Bhavet Sri Radhika Ashtotara Shatanam Stotram Ki. We'll read the translation. Srimati Radhika is endowed with the most splendorous opulences. Radharani is completely pervaded with ever-flowing transcendental mellows. This is translation number one. She is fully aware of all the subtleties of these mellows and adept in the art of relishing rasa. She is the queen of the rasa dance and totally devoted to expressing divine mellows. Radhika is full to overflowing with pure mellows, and she bestows rasa upon living beings. Number two. Radharani is very playful and greedy to taste more and more varieties of rasa. She is the architect of the rasa dance, and she enjoys sporting the rasa dance to her heart's content. She is the best worshipper of Krishna, and adored intimately by her friends. She bestows rasa unto others in a most satisfying way. Shloka 3. Radharani is the topmost jewel among all the many forms of Lakshmi Devi. All of her ornaments and paraphernalia are studded with precious jewels. Srimati Radharani likes to wear gemstone necklaces, and she radiates the most purely sublime splendor. Radharani's raktoshti, her lips are naturally colored with a charming redness, and the corners of her eyes, raktanayana, have slightly reddish hue. She especially likes to hold a red lotus flower in her hand. Text 4. Radhika is a charming young mistress. Her loveliness is especially pleasing to behold. Gopi, she is a coward girl. She likes to play in the forests of Vrindavan, and she wears many nanaratna, different types of gemstones. The shapes of her arms and legs are beautiful to behold, and she abounds in various forms of happiness. Text 5. Radhika delivers the souls out of the material world, and she takes great pleasure in listening to the flute song, Veno Gita Vinodini. She is very dear to Krishna, Krishna Priya. She is Krishna's exact counterpart, Krishna Mayi. She is fond of meditating upon Krishna. Text number 6. Sada Ananda. She is always full of bliss. Her waist is very slim. Radhika is the female form of Krishna himself, Krishna. She is the shelter of her beloved Krishna and the embodiment of auspiciousness. She is beautiful like a series of full moons, Chandravali. So Chandravali also refers to Radharani, that she's beautiful like a series or sequence of full moons. Her face is round and radiantly soothing like a full moon. She is the personification of the moon itself. And Krishna Vallabha, she is the dearmost beloved of Krishna. Text 7. She is Vrindavaneshwari, the queen of Vrindavan, and Devi, the supreme goddess of the entire creation, and Krishna Rangi. She plays fun sports with Krishna. She is the final transcendental goal, Paragati. This is very nice. She's the Paragati, the final transcendental goal. It's her eternal service. Dhyanatita. She is naturally situated far, far beyond anyone's meditation. She is very meditative by nature, and she always plays mischievous pranks on Krishna. Sada Krishna Kutuhali. Text 8. Radhika is Prema Mayi. She is full of the purest ecstatic love. She is the very form of love, Prema Rupa. Prema, her every thought, action, word, and deed is saturated with love. She revels and she enjoys delightful sports of pure love. She is a favorite of Krishna and always absorbed in the greatest happiness. She lives in the circle of the cowherd friends, Gopi Mandala Vasani. The limbs of her body are very attractive, Sundarangi. Her complexion is golden, and she likes to wear blue silken garments, and she is very contented in her attachment to Krishna, Krishna Anuragini. She is nicely marked by her obvious love for Krishna, Krishna Prema Sulakshana. Text 10. Radhika embodies different forms of confidential mellows. Nigura Rasa Sarangi. Her eyes are like those of a deer. She looks at things with an innocent glance, Mrigalochana, like the innocent glance of a deer. She excels even beyond the limitless good qualities. She is the Ishvari, the queen of Krishna's very life breath, Krishna Praneshwari, and she is equal in her dealings with all. Radhika dances in the center of the rasa dance, Rasa Mandala Madhyashta. She enjoys playing with Krishna, and she always has immaculate manners, Sada Shuchi. She is the queen of Brajadam. Radhika different expansions of her form are visible in all the natural features throughout Vrindavan. She is the granter of happiness to all beings living in Brajabhumi. Brajabhumi Sukhaprada. So that is us. We're living in Brajabhumi, so if we have any happiness, she is the giver of that happiness. Brajabhumi Sukhaprada. She especially blossoms with delight during the rasa dance, ras ulas. She becomes wildly intoxicated by drinking madhupan. She embodies the most charming loveliness. She is truly beautiful expression, is the truly beautiful expression of divine loving mellows, rasa sundari. Radhika expands herself into unlimited forms as the various gopis. She is the essence of eternity. She is greatly learned in different shastras. Text 13. Kameshwari. She is the controller and the queen of transcendental lust. Kamarupa. She is the personification of divine desire. She is always cherishing Krishna. She is the very form and figure of divine potency. She is the annihilator of the material creation. Text 14. She is pleasing like the moon. All her dealings are soft and gentle. She is endowed with all prosperity and success. She fully satisfies her beloved by her intimate worship. She fulfills the aspirations of all beings, Sarva Kamada. She is the original form of the Ganga. She is the original form of Tulsi and Yamuna and Saraswati. She is the text 15. She is the original form of the Ganga in the Patala region. And she is the supreme female divinity, Bhagavati. She is the embodiment of Bhagavan's very heart, and she is continually associated with ecstatic loving devotion. She plays in ecstatic bliss of pure love, Premananda Vilasini. Text 16. Radhika is always permeated with bliss. She is the incarnation of agelessness, or eternal youthfulness, Nitya. She is devoted to performing auspicious daily rituals. She is the attractor of the three worlds and the original source of all that is. She is the absolute manifestation of total beauty, and she expresses herself as the form of Lord Krishna. Interesting. Krishna Rupini. If any devotee recites these 108 names of Radhika, Sri Radhika, spoken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wherever and however you live, you will become endowed with ecstatic love for Krishna. So this is the mercy of Srimati Radharani and Lord Chaitanya. Such a beautiful prayer. So this is the auspicious appearance day of Srimati Radharani. And we want to describe a little bit what we've heard and read in Shastras about her appearance day. Vrishabhanu Maharaj, he passed some years without having any children. Of course, he had Sridhama, but then, which was the older brother of Radharani, but then he became 50 years old. He was 50 years old, and he didn't have any, and he wanted to have more children. So he was advised to go to Kamyavan. He went to Kameshwar Mahadev, and he prayed, please bless me with another son or more children. So then he was advised that he should go to the bank of the Yamuna. So he went to the bank of the Yamuna, and he engaged in worship of the sun there. And happens to be in a place called Ravel. We had the opportunity, good fortune, to see Radharani's Abhishek in Ravel this morning by the mercy of the devotees. So he went to that place, to Ravel, and began his worship of the sun god. So then is explained that this is the general way which Srimati Radharani appears. And this is glorified by Raghunath Das Goswami in Brajavilastava. He says that Radharani, Yogamaya arranged for Radharani to be placed in the womb of Kirtida. In the jewel-like womb, or he said, the jewel-like Radharani was placed into the womb of Kirtida was like a mine, like a jewel mine. And she appeared from that, in that way, as the daughter of Kirtida and Vrishabhanu. This is the general way. But we'll also explain, there's a Naimittik Leela, which occurs occasionally, and that's described in Lalita Madhav, quoting from Patalkanda, Padma Puran, and other places. We'll describe that later. So this ordinary appearance, Radharani appears like this, and then she's living there. Now, we want to consider, first of all, the day. Today is Ashtami, but it is a particular nakshatra, or a constellation known as Anuradha, which is convenient, because even if we think of the nakshatra, there's 27 nakshatras. One of them is named Vishakha, one is Chitra, and one is Anuradha. So she appeared on Anuradha, this day, the particular nakshatra. And incidentally, this titi of Ashtami actually ends today. It started yesterday. It ends today at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's why many temples are bathing Radharani, and Mathura and other places are bathing Radharani at 6 or 7, because it's the most auspicious time remaining in this Ashtami titis. They're very exact. And so this is Ashtami. Now the characteristics of this nakshatra, of Anuradha, has a characteristic. It's called a soft star. It's a soft star. So if anyone is born as this is their Janma nakshatra of Anuradha, then they will be very gentle. They will be very soft in appearance and very gentle and kind and loving in their dealings. And they will generally be a devotee of Krishna or Vishnu. This is the influence of someone born under Anuradha nakshatra. So Radharani is born on this nakshatra. And if you examine the 25 primary qualities of Srimati Radhika, you'll see that she's very gentle, she's very charming, she's submissive to her superiors and respectful. All these different qualities, which are characteristics of anyone born under Anuradha nakshatra. So that's one point. Now another point is a particular paksha. Paksha means the half of the month. There's Krishna paksha and Shukla paksha. Sometimes it's called Krishna paksha and Gauri paksha. Gauri means fair or golden. So paksha means the half of the month. In English we say the bright half of the month and the dark half of the month. From Amavasya to Purnima, that is the bright half. And from Purnima to Amavasya is the dark half. So Krishna, as we know, he appeared on Ashtami, in Bhadra Mas, in the month of Bhadra, on Ashtami, in the dark time of the month. Because Krishna is very dark. He is very dark in color, and his dealings are very dark and mysterious and mischievous. Everything that's illegal, he makes legal. What's illegal and illicit in the material world, when he engages in it, what is black for us becomes white for him. So although he's born in this Krishna Paksha, all his dealings are completely pure and transcendental. So he's born on Bhadra Mas, on Krishna Ashtami. Now Radharani, she is born in the Gauri, the bright half of the month. And she is born on Ashtami, on Shukla Ashtami, which is called Gauri Ashtami. So it's very interesting that Krishna is born in Krishna Ashtami, and Radharani is born on Radhastami, which is also the Paksha, or the particular Tithi is also called Gauri Paksha, or that half of the month. Now, that's nice. But now let's consider something about these dates. If you're going to make a marriage, if you're going to make the ideal perfect marriage, because every man wants to marry the perfect girl, so there are certain considerations that he will take into mind. He will take into mind what is her Janam Paksha and what is her Janam Nakshatra. What is the constellation or the star at her time of birth, and what time of the month was she born? Dark half or bright half? It just so happens that the Anuradha nakshatra is exactly opposite the Rohini nakshatra. And Rohini nakshatra is the birth star of someone named Krishna. So when you want to make a marriage combination, the ideal marriage combination is to find a boy and a girl who have opposite nakshatras. So Rohini nakshatra and Anuradha nakshatra are totally opposite in the Jyotish, in the sky. So therefore, opposites attract, as we know, opposites attract. So these are the perfect opposite nakshatras. So they make the perfect combination. Now the next consideration of combining boys and girls in marriage is the paksha. When is she born? So if the boy and girl are opposite pakshas, then also very good. So it just so happens that Krishna is born in the opposite paksha, or the opposite half of the month, is Radharani. Radharani is born in the Shukla paksha Ashtami, and Krishna is born in Krishna paksha Ashtami. So if some astrologer were to do Radharani's chart and Krishna's chart, he would say, the perfect match! I couldn't think of a better person for Krishna than Radharani, and I couldn't think of a better boy for Radharani than Krishna. Jai Jai Shri Radhe! So, Naturally, whenever Krishna does something, he does it perfectly, in the best possible way. He fine-tunes everything, even down to the nakshatras and the pakshas, although he's transcendental to all the laws of this world. Anyway, he moves like this. So now Radharani, she appeared as Kirtida's, Kirtida Sutta, the daughter of Kirtida and Vrishabhanu Maharaj. But now if we look at her parents, her father's name is Vrishabhanu. So the word Banu in Sanskrit, it means appearance, it means bright, it means brilliant, it means light, it means to reveal something is Banu. So from he was a worshipper, one of his Ishtadevs, he used to worship the sun god, and he was praying to the sun god, please bless me with auspicious family, with nice children, with another child. So from that brightness, of Vrishabhanu came Vrishabhanu Nandini, his daughter. So it's natural that she's so brilliant and so effulgent that her father's name is Vrishabhanu, that he has this name, Vrishabhanu. So she took her effulgence, she took her brilliance is coming from her father. Now her mother's name is Kirtida. So the Acharyas explained, Kirti means fame, means popularity, fame, or notoriety, popularity, fame. This is Kirti. Kirtida means one who gives fame. So in Ramananda Samvag, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is discussing with Ramananda Roy, and he asked Ramananda Roy, who is a famous person? Who is a famous person in this world? If someone is in this world, what will qualify them to be considered famous? So then Ramananda Roy said, actually, if someone has pure love, if someone is a Krishna Premika Bhakta, if he is a pure devotee, a pure lover of Krishna, that is the greatest fame that anyone could ever attain. That is the greatest fame that anyone could ever attain in this world, to become known as a pure devotee of the Lord. Just like our Srila Prabhupada, he's becoming more and more famous, because not only he's famous because of his accomplishments in Krishna consciousness and because of all, you know, his preaching, but he's famous primarily because of his pure devotion. And he, as we hear from his biography, he was blessed by every sadhu that passed through Calcutta. Every sadhu and saint and sant that passed through Calcutta would stop at the house of Gaura Mohan Day and give their ashirvad. Yes, yes, Radharani Shura Bhakta Tatastu. Right? Radharani Shura Bhakta Tatastu. May your son become a pure devotee of Radharani. So they were all blessing. Of course, Prabhupada didn't need their blessings. He already was a pure. He came as a pure devotee. He didn't become pure. He is eternally pure. Nitya Siddha. At any rate, he showed this relationship, how we're always dependent on mercy from above. We should act like that and always beg for mercy. So Prabhupada was that pure devotee. So Kirtida is the mother of Radharani. So because of the intense affection, of Mother Kirtida, she tied up Radharani with a knot of her paternal affection. She tied Radharani in her heart, and she attracted the Prema Lakshmi. Radharani is known as Prema Lakshmi, the goddess of Prema. She attracted the Prema Lakshmi to come into her womb and appear in this world. So by the mercy of Kirtida, anyone can take shelter of her daughter, Radha Charan Ashraya, or Radhapada Ashraya, take shelter of Radharani's lotus feet. And by taking shelter of Radharani's lotus feet, one can attain Krishna Prema and he will become famous. So Kirtida, the mother of Srimati Radharani, she's really Kirtida because she's giving everyone in this world a chance to become truly famous by attaining pure love for Radha and Krishna. So this is another point to consider. Just the Kirtida, Vrishabhanu, then now the birth itself, it's described that after she was born, she was living for some time, few weeks, few months, whatever, few weeks we can say, in her place in Ravel. And Narada Muni came there. This is described in Padma Puran. Narada Muni came there to have darshan of Radharani. So when he entered the house in the palace in Ravel, he offered his dandabat pranams. He circumambulated the tiny child, the tiny baby Radharani, and he started offering so many prayers. And then Vrishabhanu Maharaj, he had tears in his eyes, and he was very upset, and he was folded his hands, and he was petitioning and begging Narada Muni. He said, "You see, my daughter, Radharani, Radha, or Priyaji, or whatever he would say, Radhika, she is Jananda Bara Akriti. She says Jananda Bara Akriti. I think like that word. And because her eyes were closed. Her eyes were totally closed. So Vrishabhanu said, "Oh, Narada Muni, you see, my daughter is Jananda. She is blind, deaf, dumb, and blind. She's not saying anything. Her eyes are closed to this world. And I'm so worried about her. But you're a great saint. So with your prasanna drishti," this phrase is there, "with your prasanna drishti, with your, how do you say, your look of satisfaction, or if you glance at her with your glance of satisfaction, if you look pleasingly," in other words, if you look pleasingly, like we want to get the favorable glance of the spiritual master, we don't want to get the furrowed eyebrows and, "You get out from here!" You know, we want the friendly face, we want the pleasing glance of the spiritual master, the Guru Kripa Kataksha. the Guru Kripa Kataksha. So he said, "Prasanna Drishti, please, you glance favorably. Just by your glance, by your drishti, then I'm sure you can cure her blindness." And Narada Muni, he said, "Oh Maharaj, I'm very sorry. I cannot cure her blindness. Not only can I not cure her blindness, but none of the devatas can cure her blindness. Even Ashwini Kumars cannot cure her blindness." These are the great celestial physicians, Ashwini Kumar. "No one can cure her blindness." And Vrishabhanu was very disturbed, very worried. "My little Lali, my daughter will be blind, no speaking for her whole life." And then, seeing that Vrishabhanu was somewhat morose, then Narada Muni said, "No, don't worry, but you should understand that wherever your daughter places her feet, then that home becomes a residence of Lord Narayan. And Lakshmi Devi herself is living there. And all auspicious things will manifest in that home, wherever this little girl is living." So then, hearing that prediction and blessing, Vrishabhanu lightened his mood a little bit and smiled slightly. "Yeah, that's nice. Goddess of fortune will live here in Narayan. But what about, I want to see her face. I want to see her eyes blinking." So anyway, Narada Muni, he offered some more prayers and he went away. He flew away. So now after some few days, then Yashoda Ma, Nanda Baba, they are in Gokul, just as Krishna eternally appears in Bajravan, Mahavan, Gokul. Radharani eternally appears as the daughter of Kirtida and Vrishabhanu and Raval. So they came over to have darshan of Vrishabhanu, their very close friends, and see Radhika. So Radhika was in a golden, as it's described in Bhakti Ratnakara, Radhika was lying in a gem-studded golden cradle scented with sandalwood. Sounds pretty exotic. A gem-studded, a golden cradle studded with gems and somehow scented with pure sandalwood. And she was lying there being rocked in her cradle by these elderly gopis. Then Nanda Baba Yashoda Ma came and Krishna came and he was just crawling around. So he immediately crawled up to that cradle where Radharani was. And then he crawled up to the cradle. It's told in different ways, but then what I read, he looked and he saw Radharani, then he just touched her. And as soon as Krishna, Gopal, touched Radharani, then her eyes started fluttering. Her eyes started fluttering. Opening, closing, like first time opening. And then she opened our eyes fully, and she saw face to face, or as Gauravinda Maharaj would say, it was eye to eye union. This was the first eye to eye union with Radharani and Krishna. And they were, and then Radharani started smiling and started making some sounds that only Krishna knew. Her own baby talk. In her baby talk, she was saying, "Krishna, I love you, I love you, I love you." Just like when Prabhupada was in Radha Damodar, and there was one monkey came to the door, and Yamuna relates this in the Leelamrita, Yamuna Devi, and Prabhupada was speaking to the monkey, He was speaking some monkey talk. Afterwards, she said, Prabhupada, I saw you. You were speaking to this monkey. What were you saying? Prabhupada said, it's simple. I told him, don't come around here and bother me anymore. So Prabhupada can speak to monkeys, and Krishna can speak the language of the birds. And certainly as a baby, he can convey all his love to Radharani through the language of his eyes or his words or his gurgling or bubbling or whatever. And like that. So this is... And then Radharani opened her eyes, and she was so half smiling and so became so animated. But before she was Jadananda means she was, Jada means stone-like. So we can see an analogous or a similarity between the birth of Balaram and the birth of Srimati Radharani. In Gopal Champa, we heard from Dinabandhu that when Lord Balaram appeared, that he was also, the word that was used, Jadananda. He was Jadananda. He was like stone-like when he appeared. He was not crying, not moving. He was just hands not moving. Even usually babies moving a finger or a toe or something is moving, some sign of life. But a stone does not show any signs of life. So that's the description, is Jadarup. Balaram showed his Jadarup. He was many days, for several days. Then right before Krishna appeared from the womb of Yashoda, then Rohini took Jadarup Balaram, baby Balaram, and put him on the lap of Krishna. As soon as he was on the lap of Krishna, and he got next to Krishna, he was associating with Krishna, he was connected with Krishna with his vibration, he could hear Krishna in the womb. Then he started moving his fingers, he started opening his eyes and smiling and making little gurgling sounds. Oh, you know, Krishna or whatever, he was communicating. So he was explaining that Balaram, he appeared in this world, but the whole purpose of his life, the purpose of his every moment, is to serve and please Krishna. So in separation from Krishna, he didn't want to take any part in this world. He didn't even want to move a finger in this world. He was just like Jadarup. So Radharani, in the same way, that when she was born, but she was born blind to this world, she didn't want to see anything in this world until she could see Krishna. Feast her eyes. Nayan Otsav. Feast her eyes on the beautiful form Shyam Sundar. So we can draw some philosophical point to relate this to ourselves, that the living entity or the conditioned souls, when they're disconnected from Krishna and they're not in association with Krishna, they're living a stone-like life, like a stone-like existence. Remember, there was one movie, it was called Night of the Living Dead. So that, I like that phrase, living dead, because Prabhupada uses a similar phrase. That although they appear to be alive, we're talking, we're moving, we're working, we're getting education, actually the soul is dead. The soul inside, for the conditioned soul that is not associating with Krishna, surrendering to Him, serving to Him, the soul is just like that, like Balaram or like Radharani, blind. The soul is blind. The soul is deaf, dumb, and blind, packed up inside, just sleeping like Jadarup, just sleeping. The soul is waiting. When will I get next to Krishna? When will I see Krishna? And this person, this conditioned soul, when will he like turn his face towards Krishna? When will he put me near Krishna and forget about Maya? So we see that just as Balaram, as soon as he got next to Krishna, he became alive and animated and happy and expressive. And Radharani opened her eyes when she felt the touch of Krishna. So similarly, when conditioned souls, when they get the touch of Krishna, when they contact Krishna through His name or through His devotees or mercy or whatever, then they become alive. It's called spiritual life. We call it spiritual life. In other words, life without the spirit is no life at all. Because life means the Atma. Atma, Jeev. We say Jeev Atma. So the Atma is the real life, the source of life. So this is when we're sleeping in a dead condition, but we connect with Krishna, then we come alive. At this point, I was thinking. So the day of Radharani's birth is described. Many shastras are saying that Radharani appeared around sunrise, and some say at noontime. But at any rate, she appeared in the morning. And it was the day it's described in Bhakti Ratnakar, it was slightly cloudy. Today it's clear sky. There was a gentle wind was blowing. The wind was blowing off of the Yamuna, which flows right next to Ravel. The Yamuna's flowing there. And the wind was carrying the sweet fragrance of lotus pollen. And so many devatas, unseen, hiding in the clouds, as usual, were showering flowers Or as our one God brother translated, flower confetti. There's one Chaitanya Bhagavat who said the demigods were showering flower confetti on Mahaprabhu. Very unique. His father translated it and flower confetti. I thought that's, in other words, little tiny pieces of flower petals which are like confetti. It's actually an interesting word. And all the Brijvasis came there and they were in a very elated mood, and the musicians were playing different drums, dundubis and kettle drums and all kinds of music and horns, and they were dancing, and then they were taking turmeric or haldi, turmeric and dahi and milk. And one translation of Bhakti Ratnakara says they were taking the yogurt and butter and milk and turmeric and smearing it all on everyone. And this seems like what they would be doing. Another translation I read, it said they were scattering these substances all over the floor to create an auspicious atmosphere. And I was thinking, wait a minute, that's not Vrindavan. That's too formal, putting the turmeric on the floor. They would just be smearing, because we read in other descriptions of Krishna's birth that they were that the Brijvasis are smearing each other with butter and yogurt. And Prabhupada writes that someone who has material consciousness, he will not be able to appreciate such activities of men and women, the gopas and gopis smearing each other and massaging each other with butter and yogurt and Jai Kaniya Lalaki Nandabai Anandake, and dancing around in ecstasy. So in the same way, Radhika was born in a very auspicious situation and full pomp and ceremony. And if you go there some year, if you go to Ravel, you see it's very sweet. There's about 150 devotees there. Some stay overnight on the rooftop, and a very sweet, cool breeze, a very beautiful Abhishek is going on. But if you go to Barsana, and about 10,000 people are squeezed up, you know, 1/10,000th the tip of a hair. It's a very tight situation. So I thought also, quickly we could summarize the Naimittik Leela, Naimittik appearance of Radharani. And that is very interesting, that time to time, not very often, but sometimes in Sankalpas, it's explained in Lita Madhava how Radharani appears in a slightly different way. So what it explains is, it starts off with King Vindhya. In South India, there's a Vindhya mountain range. And the king of those mountains, he had good pride. So one time he challenged Mount Sumeru. Mount Sumeru is the hugest mountain in the whole universe. So he challenged Mount Sumeru, and he's growing bigger, bigger, bigger. He's getting bigger and bigger. And all the devatas and rishis and munis were worrying, wait a minute, the whole universe, everything is moving around Mount Sumeru. Now this Vindhya mountain, out of his man, his abhiman, if he grows bigger, it's going to upset everything. All calculations and movements of everything will be disturbed. So then Agastya Muni came there. And when Agastya Muni came to see the King Vindhya, then naturally the king paid his respects. He got down and paid his obeisances to the sage Agastya. And Agastya said, please, I have to step outside for a few moments. Please, you stay bowed down. You stay there bowed down. So Agastya, Vindhya mountain king, he stayed bowed down, and Agastya Rishi never came back. So now the challenge was defeated. There was no more challenge to Mount Sumeru because Vindhya was bowed down in half and he wasn't growing anymore. So now about the same time, the king of the Himalayan mountains, he gave birth, his wife gave birth to a daughter. And this was Sati. When Sati gave up her life in the Daksha Yajna, then she came back as a daughter of the Himalayas, the Himalayan king, and her name was Parvati. So he became very famous. King Vindhya became very famous because, first of all, he had the most beautiful daughter that was ever appeared. Parvati was the most beautiful lady in all creation. And the second reason King Himalaya became famous is because his son-in-law was Lord Shiva. I mean, you can't have a more powerful, famous son-in-law than Mahadev. Har har Mahadev. So he is a son-in-law. So he became very, very proud. So then King Vindhya, as a competing mountain king, he thought, I must get a daughter that's more beautiful than Parvati. And I must get a son-in-law that's more famous than Shiva. Right? So then he did so many austerities. And then what happened is that Yogamaya arranged that there were two girls were born in Vrindavan. And they're sisters. They're cousin sisters. But in India, they just say sisters. One girl, well, excuse me, they weren't born, but one girl was in the womb of Chandrabanu's wife. And the other girl was in Kirtita's wife. In the womb of, you know, his wife. Vrishabhanu's wife. So now Yogamaya, she took these two girls. So the daughter of Chandrabanu, the daughter of Chandrabanu is known as Chandravali. Chandravali is actually the cousin sister because Vrishabhanu and Chandrabanu are brothers. So actually, obviously they're cousin sisters. So these two girls were kidnapped, you could say. They were taken from the womb and taken to King Vindhya. And they appeared as a daughter, the daughters, the two sister daughters of King Vindhya in South India. So, now this is a problem. Radharani's in South India, and Krishna's in Gokul. So, we have to do something to bring Radharani back here. So, the story goes on, Rupa Goswami explains, Lita Madhav, that the Kamsa, about this time, Kamsa had ordered one witch named Putana. And Putana was famous for eating babies. She would have babies for lunch. So he ordered her to go and kill all the male children. Go kill all the young boys that are born. And any of the females, any baby girls, you bring to me in Mathura. So then she was flying around and somehow she went there and she saw these two girls. So she kidnapped these two daughters of King Vindhya and she's flying through the sky. And as soon as King Vindhya saw that, hey, he called his Brahmins, there's a Kechari, a witch is stealing my daughters. Just chant some mantras. So they immediately started chanting mantras, and they chanted some witch-killing mantras. So when Putana heard those mantras, it struck fear in her heart, and she started trembling, and she dropped one daughter. And that one daughter fell into a river flowing in the Vidarbha province. And that daughter was picked up by a king named King Bhishmaka. Well, things may sound familiar now if you know anything about Krishna book. So the other daughter, he was carrying her. He was on his way to Mathura. He said, Putana was bringing. I will bring this daughter to Kamsa. Deliver her in Mathura. And that daughter, that was Srimati Radharani. So as he was flying over on his way to go to Kamsa's palace, he got in an area above Braj, above the Yamuna, called Ravel. And then, just at that time, the mantras to kill Putana had taken effect, and she died. And so she crashed. You know, she was dead. And she fell down. And Radharani, she came down, just gently floating down, 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 down. And she landed in a lotus flower in the Yamuna. The daughter of the sun god. Yamuna Devi is the daughter of the sun god. So she was there, and Vrishabhanu was out in the morning. He was right there next to the palace in Ravel. He was doing his morning bath. And he saw this very bright, brilliant, golden lotus flower. He said, what is this? And then he went closer. And then Yogamaya presented in his hands this beautiful baby of Srimati Radhika. So this is described how Radharani appeared. Of course, today is also the appearance of Vishakha Devi. This is Vishakhastami. So Rupa Goswami explains that Vishakha, because the question is asked, well, how did Vishakha appear in Braj? So it says that Putana, she snatched different daughters from different kings. And Vishakha, she fell in. She appeared, Vishakha Devi appeared floating in the Yamuna. And she was picked up from the Yamuna by Jatila, of all people. Jatila, who is the so-called, or I guess she is, the mother-in-law of Srimati Radharani. So Jatila picked up Vishakha and somehow took care of her and she entered into the Leela. So this is the Naimittik description that's given of Radharani's appearance. Jai Jai Sri Radhe!